So an old man goes to the doctors and he says, "I'm worried about my wife. I think she's going deaf. What shall I do?" And the doctor says, "Well, firstly, we need to know how serious it is. So the best thing to do is to test out her hearing. You need to go home and ask her a question, maybe like 25 feet away, and see if she can hear. And then gradually go nearer and nearer. And I need to know how far away you are from her when she can hear you, just so that we know the extent of the problem." So the man agrees to this because he's worried about his wife's hearing. And he goes home and she's in the kitchen cooking dinner. And he says, "What's for dinner?" And at this point, he stood about 25 feet away. But he gets no answer. So he moves a bit closer and he says, "What's for dinner?" Still no reply. So he moves that little bit closer and says, "What's for dinner?" And still he doesn't get a response. He moves again, and by this point he's 5 feet away from her. And he says, really worried this time, "What's for dinner?" And she turns to him and says, "For the fourth time we're having lasagna." You know, our hearing isn't always as good as it should be, is it? As Christians, we should be able to hear from God. We should be listening to God every single day. We should be hearing him guiding us and loving us. We should be hearing his voice. You know, like any relationship, communication is so important. But just as our relationship with God is the most important relationship that we can have, his voice is the most important voice that we should be able to hear. And yet, how many Christians don't hear from God regularly? Or get confused. Am I actually hearing from God? Did I just hear from God? You know, we can sometimes get to a point where we're faced with a big decision and we don't know what to do because we can't quite hear. We're not quite sure what God is saying. Or sometimes a disappointment comes our way and we can't hear from God. We can't hear what he's saying into that situation. Well, the great news is God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to you. He loves you, and love pays attention. Love pays attention to you. He wants to speak into your life. He's interested in every area. He's interested in you. He wants to speak. God has so much to say to us, and he wants us to hear from him. He wants us to be able to talk with each other. He wants that communication channel to be open. God can and will speak to us if we'll just position ourselves to be able to hear from him. The Bible says, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. You know, hearing from God demonstrates that we're in relationship with each other. It demonstrates that we belong to him, that we're his, that we're his children. You know, it's like any relationship, like take a marriage. If the couple aren't talking to each other, we know there's a problem, don't we? If there's no communication, there's an issue. Even more so with God. We need communication. We need to hear from him. We need his guidance. We need his encouragement. We need his words of life spoken over us. Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We can trust God's guidance. We can trust that he speaks, that he's got only good intentions for us, that he's got great plans for our lives. So if God wants to speak to us and we need to hear from God, what's the problem? What is the problem? You know, the problem is that all too often we're not quite tuned in. We're not quite tuned in to what God is saying. Too often we're not listening regularly. Or when we need an answer, we don't quite know what God's voice sounds like to us, so we can't recognize it. All too often we hear infrequently and we doubt what God is saying to us. We can let busyness become our norm, just rushing from one thing to the next throughout our days, not allowing any space for talking with God. Or we can become distracted with life, with to-do lists and worries and concerns, or even just the TV or our phones. We can just become distracted with stuff that's going on in life. And also, there are so many other voices competing for our attention. There are so many voices in the world who want to get our attention. How are we going to even recognize God above all of that noise? But the reality is, if we are not hearing from God on a daily basis, if we're not hearing from God regularly, we're living in less than he's got for us. We're living in less than he's got planned for us. So let's not get it the wrong way around. Let's not have God's voice turned down too low and all the other distractions and voices turned up too high. My message today is called Adjust Your Volume. Turn to somebody next to you and say, adjust your volume. Will you turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 10? And I'm going to read from verse 2. John chapter 10, reading from verse 2. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. In this passage, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, and Christians are his sheep. We follow him. He uses this picture to reinforce the fact that we're designed to follow him. Jesus says that the sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is what we can have access to. This is what we can have. We can know Jesus. We can recognize him. We can listen to his voice and allow that to be what guides us. Now, given that we're not actually talking about listening with our physical ears, it's not that often that we're going to hear the audible voice of God, if at all. So how do we make sure that we're listening? How do we turn the volume up to make sure that we're hearing his voice, that we're like the sheep that he's describing, that we recognize his voice and that we follow him? Well, the first thing is we need to listen. If our prayer times mainly consist of us talking, there can't be much time for listening. Imagine if you went to see the doctor and you walked into the doctor's surgery and you said, oh, my left knee is really aching and my right eye has got this twitch and it's so annoying and I don't know why it keeps, oh, is that a text? Oh, Rebecca, I haven't heard from ages. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, my eye is really annoying and I've got this rumble in my stomach and it just rumbles all the time. And I don't know why it's rumbling. It's not like a rumble of hunger. It's like a grumble just deep down in the pit of my stomach. Did I buy cheese at the shop the other day? I can't remember. Did I? What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Oh, my arm, my right arm. It's not still recovered from that accident that I had. It's still not how it used to be. And I want it to be back to how it was. And, you know, is that realistic? I'm not sure. Oh, my meeting's at 10:30. I better go and prep for that. Okay, bye, doctor. And that's it. And we just spend our whole time talking and talking, and we never wait for a response. We never hear back. If we're constantly talking, if we're constantly just listing our requests in our prayer times with God, we're going to miss his voice. We're going to miss him speaking to us. We need to not just talk at God. We need to talk with God. Turn to somebody next to you and say, don't talk at God, talk with God. We need to wait on God to allow him to speak to us. We need to give him more than just a couple of minutes and expect him to just fit into our busy schedules. Now listen, as I start talking about waiting and being quiet, if you're an extrovert like me, you might currently be breaking out in a cold sweat and thinking, quiet, still, really? But you know what? I am so grateful that I learned early on in my Christian life how to wait for God, how to be still and how to be quiet. Now, that might look differently depending on who you are. You might be the kind of person who's a comfy chair and coffee kind of person. You might be a pacing up and down kind of person. You might be jogging around the park kind of person. Either way, whatever way, whether you like to mix it up, whether you like any of those particular approaches or one of your own, we need to allow time and space to wait on God. So many Christians live as though they expect God to display a flashing neon sign when he's got something to say. Almost as if he'll pull out a megaphone if he really wants to talk to you. You know, as if you can just be doing your shopping in the supermarket and you might be in the bread aisle and suddenly you hear a voice saying, accept the job offer. God doesn't usually work like that. God often waits for us to be quiet so that he can use those quieter moments. In 1 Kings 19, we read about Elijah, and he's expected to encounter God. And a powerful wind comes, but God's not in the wind. And a great earthquake comes, but God's not in the earthquake. And a fire comes, but God's not in the fire. And then there's a sound of a gentle whisper. And that is where God was for Elijah. You know, God can use dramatic means to get our attention. He can. But more often than not, he will choose regular practices, like when we're reading the Bible, like when we're praying, like godly counsel. So, if we're going to turn the volume up on God's voice, we need to listen. And secondly, we need to be open to God speaking to us in different ways. One of the key ways in which God will speak to us is through the Bible. Now, he may speak to you by highlighting a particular verse or passage while you're reading. It's almost like sometimes a particular verse is in bold as you're reading. Or it may be while you're praying, a verse or a passage just comes to mind. God just imprints it on your mind. If we want to hear God speak through the Bible, we need to read our Bible and we need to know our Bible. God wants to speak to us through his word. He also speaks through pictures and images and dreams. So it might be that a visual image comes to mind, or it might be that you have a dream and it's God showing you or demonstrating something that he wants to say to you. He can also speak through thoughts and ideas, something you suddenly have a revelation from God. You sometimes just get something that pops into your head. And God can also speak through other people. He might speak through your pastors, through your connect group leaders, through your spouse, through your prayer partner, through trusted friends or family who you know are listening to God too. This is one of the many reasons why it's so important to stay connected to other Christians. Being in Christian fellowship is absolutely vital to hearing from God. And it's so important that we surround ourselves with godly counsel, that we surround ourselves with people who we know are pursuing God, who are following God too. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." I love that story of God speaking to Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. And he repeatedly says Samuel's name, but Samuel doesn't recognize God's voice immediately, and he needs Eli to help him to recognize that it's God who's speaking. And that's sometimes like us. Sometimes we need those around us to help us recognize when it's God who is speaking. Turning the volume up on God's voice means we need to be open to hearing him in the everyday. You know, it can be easy sometimes to focus on listening to him if the circumstances are just right. You know, I love big festivals and big conferences. I love the feeling of being surrounded by hundreds or even thousands of other Christians and having great worship experiences and amazing talks. I love that environment. And you know, more often than not, God speaks to me in those situations. But if I wait to hear from God only in those situations, I'm going to miss what he wants to say to me every day through reading the Bible, through pictures, through thoughts, through other people who I'm surrounded with. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "Turn your volume up." So we need to turn the volume up on God's voice, listening to him, listening for him to speak in a range of ways. But we also need to turn the volume down on a number of other voices. We need to turn down the voice of distraction. It is so hard to hear from God if your mind is crowded with so many things that you need to do, so many things that have happened already, so many things that you're thinking about, so many things that you're worried about. It is so hard to hear from God if you need to check your phone every 2 minutes. If you're saying, "This is going to be my time with God, but has somebody texted me? Has I got an email? What's going on social media? What's going on in the wider world?" We're going to miss it if we can't focus on God. Turn the TV off, put the phone on silent, park your to-do list and stop rushing from one thing to the next. One of the best book titles I've heard is a book by Bill Hybels, and his book on prayer is called "Too Busy Not to Pray." Too busy not to pray. I'd really recommend that book. Time with God can often be the first thing that gets crowded out when we've got a busy schedule, when we've got lots going on. And yet it should be the top priority. It should be the most important thing in our day. Another thing we need to turn the volume down on is the enemy's lies. You know, it is so easy to allow the enemy in to whisper or sometimes even shout things that just aren't true and are not from God. We need to get good at identifying what is from the enemy. You know, look at Adam and Eve when the enemy comes in and says, but did God really say? Did God really say? It's a slight distortion that turned into a great big lie. We need to get good at identifying when it's the enemy trying to get into our minds and implant those thoughts. Then there's the inner critic, the voice inside you that might say, what if? That might say, you, really? That might say, you're not worthy. That voice inside that might be an amalgamation of things that have been spoken over you that are wrong, that might be your worries and your doubts and your fears. We've got to turn down the volume on that too. That's the kind of voice that makes us focus in on ourselves instead of up at God. And then there's the voices of other people who you can't consider as godly counsel. We need to turn down the voices of criticism. We need to turn down the voices of gossip. You might think, well, that's easier said than done. In my workplace, people are gossiping every day. Or you might think, well, I've got a relative who tells me that I'm doing something wrong all the time. Well, we need to turn that volume down. You can't choose what you hear all the time, but you can choose what you listen to. You can choose what you pay attention to from what you hear on a day-by-day basis. Turn to somebody next to you and say, turn your volume down. In the passage we read from John, Jesus talks about us being able to distinguish his voice from other voices. Verse 5 says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. So how do we know when something is from God and not just from ourselves or from the devil or just a bit of a result of that cheese on toast that we had late last night? How do we know when it really is from God? The Bible tells us that we need to test everything that we've heard. The first way to test something when you think you've heard from God is, does it align with Scripture? Does it agree with the Bible? For example, if you've heard a voice telling you, get revenge on that person for what they've done to you, that's not from God. Because God said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Or if you believe God's told you that you'd be better off out of church for a bit, you might need to recheck your Bible. Because the Bible says, let's not give up meeting together. The Bible has a whole book that tells us about the early church and how they met together and they fellowshiped together. So if you think God is saying that to you, you might need to recheck what he's saying. We never need to worry about God being flaky or indecisive. We never need to worry that God is a God who blows hot and cold. God never contradicts himself. So anything that you hear needs to completely align with the Bible. He is entirely consistent. He is the beginning and the end. He was, he is, and he will always be. He is unshakable, he is unstoppable, and he is unchanging. God is consistent. So whatever you hear will match up with the Bible if it's from God. He is faithful and he is constant. God doesn't just say one thing in his word and then give you a thought or idea that completely goes against that. Now, this is not an excuse for lazy theology, for finding a single verse, picking it out, taking it out of context and thinking that matches up with what I just heard. We need to really get to grips with the Bible. We need to be so immersed in the word that we know what God says in his word, so that when we hear from him, we know that it matches up with his word because we're familiar already. The second test whether we've heard from God is, does it agree with the character of Jesus? You know, if you want to know what God looks like, you only need to look at Jesus. Any time that you have heard from God correctly, it will match up. That word will match up with the character of Jesus. God's voice always speaks hope and life. You know, often Christians think about God's voice as directive or instructive. And that's right, he has promised to guide us. He's promised to direct our path. But quite a lot of the time, God wants to encourage you. God wants to tell you how loved you are. God wants you to know that you are worth dying for. God wants you to know that he is with you and that he is for you. God wants you to experience him and to know him and to be in relationship with him. So don't just look for direction. Sometimes we just need to listen for God saying that he delights in you, that he is rejoicing over you, that you are his child. Who needs to hear that kind of voice in their life? Who needs to hear that kind of voice every day in their life? God wants you to know that you are loved. You are loved and you are known and you are made in his image. God will correct us at times, as any loving father would. God will correct us. But there is a huge difference between conviction and condemnation. There is a huge difference between those. Conviction provides you with an opportunity to repent. It provides you with an opportunity for forgiveness, to change. And the Holy Spirit will convict us at times. But condemnation brings guilt and shame. So if what you're hearing is making you feel ashamed, that is not from God. Because God's word will always draw you closer to him, not make you want to run away ashamed or in guilt. That is not from God. That is not God's word. A third test when you think you've heard from God is, does the word leave you with a sense of peace or with anxiety? God's voice never produces anxiety. That's not God's intention. When you've heard from God, you experience peace. Now, that doesn't mean your heart might not race a little bit faster sometimes, because it could be exciting or it could be daring. But that's different from anxiety. There's a deep sense of peace that accompanies God. He doesn't bring worry or fear with anything that he says. Perfect love casts out all fear. So his word brings love and peace. Now, in some instances, when you hear from God, you might want to talk to somebody else about it. So you might talk to your pastors, you might talk to your connect group leader, you might talk to your spouse, you might talk to friends that you pray with. And so if you do that, another test is, do they affirm that word as well? But again, it is so important that when we talk to somebody, it's not just a democracy. We don't go around as many people as possible until somebody says, yeah, that sounds about right. We go to the people that we trust. We go to the people who we see fruit in their lives. We go to the people who we know are trying to listen to God as well. We go to the people who are pursuing Jesus, who are demonstrating Jesus in their lives. Those are the people that we need to be talking to. So what do we do when we've turned up the volume on God's voice and we've turned down the volume on distractions and other voices, and when we've recognized God's voice? 1 John 5 says, if we love God, we do what he says. James 1 says, don't just hear the word of God, but do what he says. When we hear from God, we can't just get excited that we've had a word and then leave unchanged. We've got to allow that word to change us from the inside out. We've got to allow it to change our behaviors and our actions and our day-to-day. We've got to allow that listening to really permeate right into our souls. We need to listen and not just hear. Hearing is the ability to perceive information or sounds, but listening is putting those into action. That's the difference. And that's why we need to listen to what God has said. Jesus said his sheep listen to his voice and they follow him. As Christians, we need to listen to God's voice and apply his voice into our lives. Imagine how full our lives could be if we were fully tuned in. Imagine that scenario where we've turned the volume up on God's voice and we've turned the volume down on the distractions and on the enemy and on the inner critic and on people who shouldn't be speaking into our lives. Imagine if we got those volumes right. Imagine the difference. Imagine if we knew that God just wants you to know how loved you are. He wants to rejoice over you with singing. He wants to guide you. He wants you to live in righteousness. He wants you to walk closely with him. He wants you to know him. Imagine if we heard from the Creator, from the King of Kings, from the giver of life. Imagine what our lives would be like. Imagine what our thought lives would be like. Imagine what our behaviours would be like. Imagine what our families would be like. Imagine what our communities would be like. Imagine what the world would be like if we heard from God and put into practice what he said. Well, you know what? This can be our reality, church. We don't just have to imagine this. This can be our reality. God has something to say to you. God has stuff to say to you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Turn up your volume on his voice and turn down the volume on the stuff that doesn't matter. Imagine if that was our reality.